Well, let me ask you to take your Bibles this morning and look with me to the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at the book of Revelation in the 20th chapter. You know, this is a passage of Scripture here that kind of puts a seriousness, really, to all of our thinking when we come to the book of the Revelation. And I don't know about you, but I do my best to try to keep up with the times. And listen to me very carefully now. We're living in very troubling times. I mean, we're not just here in America, but all over the world. And we know, according to the book of the Revelation and prophetic books like Daniel and Ezekiel, we know where all this is headed. And I want to let you know this morning, folks, we really need to get really serious about the spiritual things of life. And these things are winding down. And when we come to the book of the Revelation, we're told about an event that's called the Great White Throne Judgment. We're told about an event that's called the Second Death and the Lake of Fire. Now look, folks, I don't know how else to put it, but these are very, very serious things. And we're looking at about 6,000 years of history wrapping up. Then we're going into prophetic times. Now listen to me. We're running out of time. And listen, you may not think I'm your friend, but I am your friend. Because I'm telling you, you better get ready for it. Now, how many of you believe that the Bible's God's word? Amen, I believe it. As a matter of fact, I even believe the cover of it. It says Holy Bible. Amen, I believe it. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross, that he lived, he died, he shed his blood, was put in the tomb 3 days and three nights later, rose from the grave. And he did it for a reason. And that reason is so that we can be saved. Now, saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from our sin. Saved from the judgment. Now, look at Revelation. We're going to look at the very first verse, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 1. And I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture here, and I normally wouldn't do this because I feel like you lose the attention of your listeners, but I'm just going to trust that you're going to have enough character and just enough decency that you're going to think about these verses as we're reading them, and then we'll try to put some things in perspective here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. The 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now that mark that they're referring to, of course, is the mark of the beast. In the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about a mark that is going to be put on people's hands and foreheads that will give them the privilege to buy and sell on the earth. So we believe the Bible teaches and preaches a pre-tribulation rapture. So those of us who are born again, one of these days, we're going to experience a rapture. After the rapture, the world will go into a time called the tribulation period. During that tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to rule. That's what this passage is talking about. And people will get to a point where they will not be able to buy or sell. What we see taking place with the Great Reset and the pushback, that's what that is all moving to. If you can't see that, it's because you don't want to see it. It's moving. The passport, the COVID passports, they're just precursors to that. We're literally moving. It's moving that way. That's why I'm trying to tell you, things are running down. We are running out of time. you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. I'm telling you, I am warning you tonight. God is right. And this passage here, this is a prophetic passage. And we're going to make some applications now. We're going to move a little bit deeper into this. Look at the verse number 5 again. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up onto the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I'm just going to read one more verse to you, chapter 21, verse number 1. I just want you to take notice how things changed dramatically. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And we have to read verse 2, and I'll have a prayer. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, folks, this passage here is a very, very serious passage, but we have to deal with the serious things. I turned 61 in January. I have a son that has a franchise down in Dallas called Senior Helpers, and he works with older people. And he does a lot with the families, preparing when the parents get older and they're just they're needing care. And so he's in tune with all these things here, and he just tells me nightmares of times where people, they just don't have it in order, they don't have those times in order, and what a strain it puts on everything. They're not ready. They're not prepared for this. Well, folks, this is an event that we all need to be prepared for. I want to preach a message that I've entitled this morning, The Second Death in Real Time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for the blood of Christ. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation by grace through faith. Thank you, dear God, for the church. What in the world? Where would we be without the influence of the church in our lives? Lord, the instrument that you've used to propagate the gospel, to declare the gospel here locally and around the world. And Lord, as we preach this morning, we pray that you'll help us and fill us, dear God. I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would just settle in this place this morning, and that, Lord, we'd just come to realize you've given us time to prepare for this. And Lord, I pray that there would be many, many souls this morning would prepare for this event, Lord, that is going to happen someday. Thank you for the grace of God and for the mercy of God and the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the book of the Revelation is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this great book, the divine program of redemption is brought to complete fruition. What man lost in a garden, God wins it back again in a garden redemption. Now, I want you to think with me this morning in the mode, the understanding of a timeline. Because when we come to the book of the Revelation, in the 20th chapter of the Revelation, the timeline, the line of time comes to an end. When we start in the book of Genesis with the creation of man, all of a sudden, at that point, we start measuring times. We measure times in thousands of years, 4,000 years from Genesis to Malachi. And then we measure 2,000 years when God revealed the mystery, his church, to send the gospel around the world. And then we have a 1,000 years of a millennial reign. But when we come to the book of the Revelation, the measurement of time stops. So we got man, and time is measured. When we come to the book of the Revelation, the measurement of time is over. Really, what we see from that point on is the endlessness of eternity. And it's either going to be an eternity with God in heaven, or it's going to be an eternity in hell separated from God and the redeemed forever and ever and ever. You see, the timeline can be traced through the Bible to a particular moment in the future when the timeline dissolves into the endlessness of eternity, a duration with no end. It is the beginning of infinity. The timeline I'm speaking about today began when the Lord, remember in Genesis, sacrificed an innocent animal while Adam and Eve watched. Amen. And the renowned event inaugurated the first stitch in the scarlet thread of redemption. And this scarlet thread can be traced through the sands of time. It is pictured as sacrifice animals of the Old Testament. It comes to us in the picture of an ark during the time of Noah. Then we learn about it in the tabernacle when God was specifically dealing with the nation of Israel and their worship, and through types and stories of the Old Testament. And then when we come to the New Testament, it tells us that it was all about Jesus. All of those Old Testament sacrifices and all the ark and all of that, the shedding of a blood, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, was a type. God in these ways was pointing to the Messiah, to the Lamb of God that was going to offer his sacrifice once and for all. Now, when we come to the book of the Revelation, the text mentions something about death, and it mentions something about second death, eternal death. And the Bible is synonymous. When it talks about the second death, it is the lake of fire. When people die today without Christ, they have to go to hell. Just like when people commit crimes, they go to hell, and then ultimately one day they're going to go to the second death or the lake of fire. When somebody commits a crime, they go to jail, and then they face their sentence, and then they have to go to the penitentiary. Well, that's kind of the way it is here. When we're coming to Revelation chapter 20, it's the penitentiary. We're looking at the beginning of the history of man to the beginning of eternity. The first tick of the clock of eternity. You see, we live our lives in what we call real time. It is what is happening at the very present moment. It's real time. That's the way we live our lives. And the inspired Word of God explains particular periods of time in which God was working aspects of his eternal will, and he speaks of time, and then he speaks of a time when it all comes to an end, or maybe we could say to a beginning. We can go to the book of Genesis, and from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 to Malachi chapter 4, we're talking about 4,000 years. During that time period, Genesis chapter number 1 and 2, we learn about Adam and Eve, and it was their innocence here on the earth. And then we see in the scriptures the fall of man, where sin came into the human race. That was after the fall. God was dealing with men in his conscience. And then in Genesis chapter number 8, we see God instituting human government and what it was supposed to do, what his idea of government was to do. And then in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis,
We're told about an incredible man by the name of Abraham. And the Bible says all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him, because from Abraham would come the people that would give us the Savior, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, and give us our Bible. And then in the book of Exodus chapter 19, we have the introduction of the law. Now, we may not agree as to the exact divisions and naming of these times, amen, with every detail, but we know that God was reaching out to man. But we know right now man is no longer tending the Garden of Eden. Man is no longer building arks. Man is no longer setting up tabernacles. He is no longer offering animal sacrifices. He is not required to rear up magnificent temples. Creation is over. The flood has already occurred. The law has been given. Pentecost has taken place. God has revealed to the world the mystery of his church, and his church was given the assignment to get the gospel around the world. So it's very apparent that we have moved into these times. So we have Genesis to Malachi 4,000 years, and then we have the institution of the church. All what those Old Testament prophets knew, we're not absolutely told for sure, but there's some pretty fascinating verses revealed about the Old Testament prophets and their study in the Scriptures and understanding of the salvation that God gives man by grace through faith all the way through. Amen. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, 10, 11, and 12 particularly. But once the church age is over, the rapture has occurred, then it goes into a tribulation time. Remember, God is going to bring the Jews back to a place of repentance. Amen. They're at the end of it. They're going to see the one that they pierced. And then we're going to have the second coming of Christ, when Jesus literally comes to the earth again, the second coming of Christ, the visible return of Christ. And then they're going to go into a millennial kingdom. The devil is going to be chained. The Bible says that we have the millennial kingdom. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. That is a millennial reign. Then the devil's going to be loosed for a season, and he's going to gather as army as the sands of the sea, and then it's going to go into this terrible judgment, and then the devil's going to be tormented forever, and then the great white throne judgment is going to take place. And the great white throne judgment, the only people that are going to be there are people that are not saved. The lost are going to be there. And I'm asking you this morning, are you saved? Do you know that you've been born again? I am telling you, things in this world are winding down. Winding down. And you better get your heart, life, mind, family prepared for the events ahead. Because this time is winding down. And we're asleep. And we're comfortable. I've never seen a time where money flows like it's flowing right now. It's absolutely amazing. And we're at ease and we're at comfort. And I'm telling you, we better get ready. Because the Bible is right. God is real. Jesus died for your sins. And he has given the church the ministry to proclaim the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the digestible message for the lost. People can understand it. The Holy Ghost of God will preach it way louder than I could ever preach it. So what we're seeing is the creation of man to the beginning of eternity. The second death initiates eternity. Since Adam, we have been measuring time, but we are seeing now the beginning of a duration with no end. When we get to this point, time cannot be measured anymore. We cannot help. We are people. We measure things by time. I have used calendars and planners as long as I can remember in the ministry. I measure things. This is what I'm going to do today, I hope. This is what I plan to do tomorrow, I hope. This is where I'm going to be next week, this week, next month. Because we're human. We live our life in time frames. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time when it's going to be over. So this means that somebody somewhere will have to experience this point in time when time will never be measured again. It's going to be now. It's going to be real time forever. And this is what, if you're lost and you never get saved, this is what you can expect. Number one, the second death in real time means time spent will never diminish the duration. In other words, listen, when somebody goes to hell, they go to hell forever. Amen. You think about Cain. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was right, yet God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel, because he put his faith in a coming Messiah, is enjoying glory. But his brother Cain, it's not the same. The Bible says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then Jude says in verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. I'm thinking about the rich man in Luke chapter number 16. I'm thinking about, all of the people that have died without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you come to this point and you've never been born again, you're going into the eternity with no duration. And what a sad, sad thing that's going to be. Enduring fire, enduring pain, enduring darkness, enduring separation. The second death in real time means that it is spent. It's never deducted from a duration. Never. It's serious. You need to be born again. It's real. The moment comes because they have entered into eternity in real time, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I remember years ago I was doing some prison work with Dr. Ron Garris down in Parchman, Mississippi, and I went to that prison revival meeting, and we had a wonderful time. Hundreds of prisoners saved. And I remember during that first time that I went there in Parchman, Mississippi, I met a prisoner, and he had a very distinguished look about him. Just looked like a movie star, just curly hair, full thick head of hair, and had these incredible, dazzling green eyes. And just made an impression on me. And I don't think I was able to come back the next year, and then I came back the next year, and as I was doing the ministry into those prisoners, I remember I met that same man. And here, all those 2 years, I had lived in freedom. I got to be with my family, my wife, my children, preaching, fellowship, churches, and here I was enjoying freedom. And it just stunned me, because I looked at that man with those dazzling green eyes and realized he had been here the whole time. I'm living, and he's here. You see, the second death in real time means it's never going to end. The second death in real time means excruciating pains of torment will never lessen. Oh, just think about how horrible it's going to be, how terrible it's going to be. The awful things that hell is going to offer: fire, burning, sadness, hopelessness, pain, crying, despair, weeping and wailing, and darkness and loneliness, remembering the chances that you saw the beautiful sunrise and the sunsets and saw God's wonderful creation, but you never put it together with a Creator that loves you and offered salvation for you. Oh, no doubt the most popular prayer in hell is just give me one moment of relief. But that moment of relief will never come, because it is an eternity in real time. It's never going to stop. Do you know one of the ways that the body deals with pain is to pass out, is to lose consciousness? When somebody has had something traumatic happen to their body, a limb broken, or just something really traumatic happens, the body deals with that in
losing consciousness. But in this place, there's no loss of consciousness, what I see in the Scriptures. Oh, there are some denominations that would like to say, it's soul sleep, or they lose consciousness or in a state of soul sleep. But there's no; those things are not taught in the Bible. The second death in real time means the tempered chains of darkness will never be broken. You see, the darkness is not just the absence of light, but it's the absence of God who is light. You see, to a degree, everybody here is afraid of the darkness, because we just don't know what's next in the darkness. It's a terrible thing, darkness. But hell and the lake of fire is a place of absolute darkness. The moment never comes, the moment of light or singing, anything, because they've entered time, the eternity, in real time. What a sad place. You see, the second death in real time means the final separation from God and the redeemed will never end. Separated from the people that they loved and loved them, and they'll be separated from them forever because they have entered in eternity in real time. Forever. It's what's happening at the moment. A total separation. I've got nephews that are right now in the military. They're separated. One of them is separated from his family. I've been out preaching, been separated from my family. I'm sure there's men and women that have worked here and had to be separated from their families, but we don't like it, do we? But when we come to Revelation chapter 20, and we're looking at the great white throne, and when the Lord, the Bible says that they're cast death and hell, or cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death, it is a separation. You see, folks, every one of us are made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. And God demonstrated his love for us. We are sinners by nature. Sin separates us from God. God sent the Son, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he provided redemption for us. And what we're seeing is time measured out. Time started, measured out. And then it's going to come to a place where it's no end. I know people don't like to hear about it. I could have very easily talked myself out of even preaching this message. I wish I didn't have to preach these things. But I wouldn't be a friend. I wouldn't be true. I love you enough to preach to make you stand up and walk out because you don't want to hear it. But I love you. And I'm not afraid of it. And I'm going to preach it because it's in the Bible. Now, what you have to be willing to do is respond to it. Salvation is by grace through faith. I've been just captivated by this story that a friend of mine told me. He worked in a coal mine in West Virginia. He was walking out of the coal mine one day, and as he was walking out, a friend of his was walking in, and he looked at him and he says, "Ed, are you saved?" And he said, it was like the Holy Ghost convicted him at that very moment. Boom. And he said, "I cannot even tell you, I fell under such conviction." And he said, "I couldn't get away from it till I got born again." And I'm telling you, folks, it's real. It's real. And you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And through that, we're going to have all of heaven to enjoy. This world is not falling apart. It's all falling into place. And we see it from the Scriptures. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's why I get so stirred in my heart. I just came from a funeral in Mesquite, Texas. My boyhood pastor passed away a week ago, last night. A week ago, passed away. And here's how it started. You know, the gospel has got to find a way to enter into a family with some people, somebody. And it started with my mom and dad. And I told the story of we were outside working with my mom and working with my dad outside, me and my two brothers. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and a car drove by, and I saw it, the brake lights come on. And then he backed up, and a man by the name of Sylvester Matthews got out of that car. My dad was saved under the ministry of Joe Boyd, and that's where it started. But the church that he was a part of with Brother Boyd had dissolved. It was out of business. And Brother Matthews came back and restarted that church. My mom and dad got lost in the shuffle. Brother Matthews came out and said, talk to my dad. My dad recognized them. They talked. And he said, how about the kids riding the Sunday school bus? And I said, Dad, I'd like to ride that bus. I never rode a bus before. And when I stepped on that Sunday school bus, I would have never imagined what God would do in my life and do in our family. All I did was step on that Sunday school bus, and then I started hearing about Jesus and about the gospel. I made a profession when I was young, but I don't know if I got really born again. So at age 15, I saw under such conviction, I said, I can't stand it anymore. I got to get this thing settled. And that's when I got born again. And God revolutionized our whole family. My dad, my mom, my two brothers, my three sisters. I mean, we know Christ. We're going to get to spend eternity forever all together with God. But how tragic some are going to miss it. And folks, I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be saved. That's what I came to do this morning. There is a real hell. There is a real judgment. And we need to face it and prepare for it. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to be honest with me, okay? Because if you're not honest about it, you're not going to get the help that you need. A person that will lie can never, ever get the help that they need. So you have to be honest. Now, some of you are going to be tempted to raise your hand. But remember, the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You got to be honest. If you're not honest, you're never going to get the help that you need. Now, here's the question. How many of you could say, Brother Oliver, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know for sure I've been saved. Don't raise your hand if you're not saved. You're not going to get the help that you need. How many say, Brother Oliver, I'm saved and I know it. Hold your hand up. Isn't that wonderful? If you're happy to be here this morning, how about a good hearty amen? Happy to be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, don't raise your hand if you're not saved. You've already taken the first step to getting saved. You've got to admit that you're lost. Nobody ever gets saved till they get lost. You've got to see yourself lost. Now, people don't like to know that they're lost because, well, bad people are like that. But we're born into this world needing a Savior. Amen. And when Jesus saves you, listen to me now, the only way he knows how to save you is to save you eternally. He cannot save you halfway. He doesn't save you for 6 months and leave you, or for 6 years and leave you. When he saves you eternally. It's a new birth. You become God's child. He becomes your father. It's based on a relationship. Nothing separates that. Thank God for eternal salvation. Amen. Now I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want you to be very honest with yourself. All right? But this is the most important service you'll ever